Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Ryan Recker, Overnight America, and time for...
Tell me something good.
Go ahead. I would like to hear it if you got something good to share. We'll get to that name thing again. I had a couple other... I had another name story. A Virginia high school teacher was fired for using... I guess not the preferred transgender pronoun. Ugh. So we're going to get to that too this hour. But if you got something good you'd like to share, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120 is the number. I actually got a couple of good stories here in the hopper. I feel like we're moving right along here on this Monday morning now. For anyone that may be listening to us on the podcast, thank you. We love all of our podcast listeners, which you can get at KMOX.com. And also wherever you get your podcast. So the Apple iPhone, if you got the podcast app on there, it comes with it. I don't even think you can delete it. They won't even let you. Just search for Overnight America on there. Or if you got a Google, like Google Podcast or one of these other ones, an Android phone or the radio.com app, just search for Overnight America. You can get all of our shows right there. All right, how about we start with this one? This one's on the KMOX website. Bone marrow donor found for ailing St. Louis Blues fan. That's the headline. Really cool thing. So they finally found one. Blues fan's name, Lilia Anderson. The team didn't say who the donor was or whether the match came from the recent to-be-a-match drive in November 19th's game. However, the Blues do say the donor has agreed to help Anderson, which is pretty remarkable. You know, they're not allowed to say who the donor is if you don't know who it is. If it's a family member, obviously, yes, you're going to find out who that person is if they decide to share it. But the reason why they don't tell you who the donor is, because it's a lot of pressure. And same thing when it comes to things like kidney transplants. You know, I knew someone that went through a kidney transplant, and I know how difficult it is to find a match in a donor. You could be on that list for 4, 5, 6, 10 years before you find a match if you don't actually go out there and try to solicit for one, or you have a direct family member that will donate directly to you. So if you just be, if you're put on a list, you never know. One day you might get the call, get in now. We're doing the surgery, this life-saving surgery. And you could wait, wait, wait forever, and it may never come. Well, same thing with the bone marrow. One of the reasons why they do it the way they do it is because even though it's something like a bone marrow is a lot different than like a kidney transplant, it's pretty scary, right? So some people may get cold feet and they don't want to put the pressure around you and they don't want to make it feel like you're going to be a disappointment for pulling back on it for something. If you all of a sudden at the last minute say, I got cold feet, I'm scared to death and I'm not going to do it. All right. So if you're going to go as far as giving the donation and going through with it and being as brave as you are and being prepared to do that sort of thing, you have to mentally prepare yourself. Sure. So that's why they don't say who the donor is. So there's no pressure if they end up backing out. Let's hope that doesn't happen, obviously. But you can find that story at KMOX.com. So it has been found. A match has been found. The St. Louis Blues did their part and they were able to help find a perfect match to save the life of a local girl here. And that's, I think, a great story. Here's another one. Kid Rock, man. Remember last week we talked about how Tyler Perry went to a local Walmart in the Atlanta area and he spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to pay off all the layaway items for people that had items on layaway? So he steps in and does it. He goes, oh, I'm just going to do this and this will be a great thing and I'll help people up. Apparently, Kid Rock... got a little bit tired of people talking about him for his comments on Joy Behar, decides to go out and do the same thing. So he tweets, Tyler Perry, great idea. I followed your lead and paid off the layaway at my local Walmart in Nashville. According to the Nashville store manager, the musician called the store on Friday morning, explaining that he wanted to spread some holiday cheer. Rock's manager later came in and made the generous payment. Kid Rock being, he's 47 years old. $81,000 he used to clear off 350 layaway accounts in Nashville, Tennessee. Didn't do it and go on and do it himself. I guess it's probably better to send the manager with the checkbook for something like that, right? That was from WBIR reporting that. On Friday, after the director dropped off, Tyler Perry ended up paying off $430,000 on the layaway items. That's when Kid Rock decided to step up, too. You know, Tyler Perry was trying to do it anonymously at first, and, you know, people found out about that sort of thing. I think it's pretty great. Said, I have paid for all the layaway for Christmas, and, you know, God bless you, seriously. I love stories like that. One other very good story, if you haven't seen this one, it's been making its rounds. There was a photo that was posted online of a scraggly-looking pup laying on a pile of rubble. Madison's the name of the dog, a shepherd dog, and I found this on Fox News. Apparently guarded the burnt home where the owner had to flee in Paradise, California, and the dog would refuse to leave the grounds of the property. Left food and water for Madison during his wait, and animal rescuers tried to give everything they could to the dog, but could not lure the dog off of the property. The dog waited until the owner came back, and waited and waited and waited. No animal rescue. They leave food and water, but they waited. Well, eventually, the dog owner came back to the dog's joy, all caught on tape. So the Canine Paw Print Rescue Group was posting on Facebook and showing the way that they reunited. Animal rescuer, when they finally got cleared to go back to the lot where the house once stood, Madison was waiting there for them as if he was protecting his former home. The rescue center wrote on Facebook, which had 17,000 reactions, 11,000 shares as of Saturday afternoon. Said he had stayed to protect what was left of this home and never gave up. What a good boy. Seriously, with this dog. How much of an anxiety attack would you have knowing you know exactly where your dog is? You're afraid something's going to happen to your dog. You're afraid your dog may get killed or whatever. And they won't let you go retrieve your dog because it's, you know, too unsafe for humans to go back there. So they let the animal welfare and rescue groups in. Man, couldn't they just snuck this guy in as like a quote-unquote member of that organization? Like, couldn't they put a vest on this guy and say, oh, yeah, he's here with us. Then you could go get the dog? No, they had to wait. I would be losing sleep knowing my dog was out there, knowing where it was, and someone was stopping me from going to get it. Oh, that would be so hard. So hard. Well, good for that reunited family there. If you got a good story you'd like to share, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. If not, I got a couple of those name stories I'm going to go back to. Man, maybe I'm just being ridiculous with this name thing. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Back and catch up with the one story name I had on here. I found this on Facebook. And this is what we got. On a Facebook group, dear members of the baby shower, she was very upset because the other family members and friends were telling her that the kid's name was not a good selection. The kid's name was Squire Sebastian Senator is his first name. First name, Squire Sebastian Senator. You know how hard it's going to be for that kid growing up, let alone trying to spell the name. How do you spell your name? Squiresebastian Senator. Wow. Is that your full name? No, that's just my first name. I wonder what the middle name is. Is the middle name going to be multiple names too? Last name? Hyphenated? So, Squire Sebastian Senator, she says, will be a powerful, wholesome name, a wholesome life. His confidence will not diminish simply because his name is out of the ordinary. Instead, he'll be extraordinary. Sure, I'm sure. I'm sure you could dictate all of these things ahead of time. That sounds like someone that's never had a kid talk. That's the way I probably would have sounded before my kid, right? I have it all figured out. We got the baby books. Oh, all the baby books. All the doctors tell us this is what you're going to do, and this is how the kid's going to be successful, and all kids are just like this, and it's all going to work. Oh, it never works out like that, does it? Ever. Ever. Am I just mean to say that this is a bad idea for a kid's name? I don't think I am. I really don't. 314-436-7900. All right, let me go back to this other one here. This was a story out of Richmond, Virginia, and richmond.com is the newspaper. A Virginia high school teacher was fired for refusing to use a transgender student's new pronouns, a case believed to be the first of its kind in the state. Now, when we go through this story, I wanted to get your initial impressions on something like this. Because should the guy have been fired? I don't think so. But he was. So there was a board hearing with the West Point School Board, and it was a 5-0 unanimous vote to terminate Peter Vlaming, French teacher, but a pretty small school, you know, in a high school, 265 students. So you're looking at less than 100 per class if you have, you know, four classes. After a four-hour hearing that happened with the West Point High School, the former teacher at West Point High School who resisted administrators' orders to use male pronouns to refer to a ninth grade student who had undergone a gender transition. Vlaming, 47 years old, taught for the school almost 7 years, spent a decade in France, he was a French teacher, told his supervisors his Christian faith prevented him from using male pronouns for a student he saw as female. Now, this is the key to the story, where this, to me, is absolutely insane that the school board, even after making this adjustment, still decided to fire him. He agreed to use the student's new name, but he tried to avoid using pronouns, he or him, she or her, while referring to the student. The student said that made them feel uncomfortable and singled out. Administrator sided with the student, telling Vlaming he could not treat the transgendered pupil differently than the other kids. Now, there's two things here. Number one, the teacher tried to accommodate the situation of this one student. This individual tried to accommodate in a way where the teacher was saying, I'm not going to use what this person considers the improper pronoun, but I'm also not using what I consider the improper pronoun. So we're just going to use the name, which I think is a perfect solution, which I also think is something that should be fine. School board didn't see it that way. How do you see it? Now, I think that this is going to, of course, go to the courts, and I hope there's a lot of people that defend this teacher. Now, I don't know if this teacher is going to be able to go back and teach after something like this. I'm sure he'll want to. Here's what they said. Let's see. That discrimination then leads to creating a hostile learning environment, and the student had expressed that. The parent had expressed that. They felt disrespected. The non-discrimination policies were updated a year ago to include protections for gender identity, but Vlaming's lawyer said there was no specific guidance on the use of gender pronouns. So there's no school policy against using whatever pronoun or whatever, right? There's nothing there that says this teacher by the book should be relieved of duties. Instead, the board gets together and decides something that is not policy, which is, well, we feel like this student was uncomfortable, so thus the student needs to be removed. The teacher needs to be removed. So it says, speaking in his own defense, Vlaming said he loves and respects all his students and had tried to reach a solution based on mutual tolerance. That effort was rejected, he said, putting him at risk of losing his job for having views held by most of the world in most of human history, which is true. That is not tolerance, that is coercion. If the idea of we're going to try to push our values on you, so you're forced to and you're coerced to go against your religious beliefs or whatever your beliefs are in general, and you're going to have to bow to the beliefs of someone else before your own, is that where we want to go as a society? And I think that's what a lot of people are fighting right now. They're saying that, you know, I hold my own beliefs, I hold my own thoughts, and I'm able to, I should be able to freely be able to express myself in ways that are you know, an intellectual discussion, or, you know, even if it's not that, I should be able to, I shouldn't have to be forced to use someone else's ideas and speech and adopt it as my own in order to make you more comfortable. Now, even with that said, this is a teacher that actually made concessions and said, I wasn't trying to disrespect because I wasn't using the improper pronoun, but that's the way you see it. I wasn't using an improper pronoun for me. I wasn't using an improper pronoun for you. It wasn't used as a way to harass this student. The student saw it as harassment. Is that, what if anyone says, you know, I don't like that this person's a Christian. So I see that as something that's very damaging to me. So I am upset and that person needs to be removed. Let's fill in the blank with something else. I don't like that that teacher's a Muslim. So you know what that means? I am upset and I'm offended by it. So that person needs to be removed. I don't like that this person is a blank and I don't like it. So that person needs to be removed. Was that where the road we want to go down? I feel uncomfortable because that person is a blank. Fill in the blank, whatever you want it to be. That's not good at all. Not good in a school. It's not good in a workplace. It's not good in society. But that's what we're leaning towards. We should be able to say one person having a disagreement, I guess, when it comes to moments like this. One person says, well, you have to do it this one way, else you're going to be ostracized. And next thing you know, you're not going to have a job. You're not going to have a place in society. You're not going to be able to open your mouth and express or say anything. It's kind of sad, actually. It's sad that all the way around this. He said, that is not tolerance. That's coercion. He's right. It's not tolerance. Let's see. Says, if there's no policy in place, how can they just let him go? One person said, a parent. The dispute has been makings of a legal fight, presenting a novel mix of questions about LGBTQ rights, religious freedom, and the limits of free speech in public employees. Witnesses describe one pronoun slip up during a class activity when the student was wearing a virtual reality headset. The student was about to run into a wall, and Flaming told others to stop, quote, her. I guess that was the trigger word. Accidentally said her because she was about to get hurt. And that triggered everyone. Oh, my goodness. Says, I can't think of a worse way to treat a child than what was happening, said West Point High School principal Jonathan Hochman. Oh, I can think of a lot of other ways that you could be treating the child worse. I wonder if their school has ever had any sex scandals. Boy, things that have been hidden and disciplined in the past where people haven't made it public. You're saying you have a perfect track record up until now? You can't think of any other way anyone's ever been hurt on school property. Give me a break here. So this is being overly sensitive at this point. Way overly sensitive. The school system released a brief statement after the vote. As detailed during the course of the public hearing, Mr. Flaming was recommended for termination due to his insubordination, repeated refusal to comply with directives made to him by multiple administrators. The potential for future litigation, sure. Well, who knows? This teacher, you know, is going to probably have to do that out of pocket unless there's another group that comes out and tries to help fund, because, man, this could get pricey. In the school system, of course, I'm sure you're happy your tax dollars are going to go to defend this school system. It said, I am being punished for what I haven't said, Vlamin mentioned, the teacher. I am being punished for what I haven't said. Called the person by their name. Called the person by their name, and it made them feel uncomfortable. Yikes. I am... You know, it's worth mentioning these stories, and it's worth mentioning that there are other organizations and a lot of other people that see that as silly and just nonsense that it has to get to this point where we even have to litigate these sort of things. If we're at the point where we can't even call someone by their name and they'll get upset because they see that as a workaround in order to not have to bend their own beliefs when it comes to these pronouns or whatever it is. If you look at someone and say, I look at them by their biological sex, and when it comes to someone recognizing themselves in a different way, go ahead and let them do that. But it doesn't extend to forcing me to do that too. If you're saying that we can't at least agree that you shouldn't be able to force someone into having different beliefs than you, well, then what are we fighting for? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. On Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. Wow. So what I'm doing is I'm looking at photos. Sparky, who called in last hour, who wanted to brag about having 7 Christmas trees up in his house right now, has finally sent me the photos. So I'm looking at them, and I'm looking at a picture of his living room. Kind of a standard living room. So you have what looks like a bay window and a TV on the wall. And it doesn't look like he's watching sports. It looks like he's watching an infomercial for children's toys. And there are 3 Christmas trees in this one living room. 1, 2, 3. Each a little bit different than the other. Then he sent me another photo. And he said this is looking down the living room to the kitchen. There's one in the kitchen. They even have the decorations on each walkway of the house. So it's not like he's living in a, 20,000 square foot home and he has multiple living areas and he just needs 7 Christmas trees. Oh, no. He does it by design. This is dangerous. Any women that may be listening right now, do all guys a favor. Do not bring this up to your guy tomorrow and say, hey, I heard on the radio that we can have 7 Christmas trees in the house and people are doing that sort of thing. No, no, no. Please do not try that. Ooh, would that be a mistake? All right. I got a couple of different stories I want to bring up. There was one about the Loop Trolley. I don't know if you saw this, but the Loop Trolley broke down today. One of 2 of the trolleys. Man, what has it been? 2 weeks the thing's been operational and one's already broken down. So one of the 2 trolleys carrying passengers at the time broke down and operators hope to have it up and running by Thursday. So it was near the History Museum, and they tried to send someone out there to fix it, and the problem could not be fixed on site, so they had to tow the thing back to the shop. This is my nightmare. My nightmare is I'm going to test one of these things out, and I'll get stranded or stuck, or there'll be too many people riding the thing. I won't be able to get back on it from one destination to the other. I'm going to be out in the cold. I'm really worried about it. I really want to try riding this. I know my kid really wants to try riding this, and it would be fun. I get it. It'd be an experience to see what all the fuss is about. $51 million in the making. They put so much time and effort into this sort of thing. I want to try it, but just my luck. Oh, yeah, I can't get back to my car because I parked somewhere else and the thing gets stuck. Now I'm stuck here for a couple hours. What am I going to do? The company alerted riders on its Facebook page. He said, Trolley 1 has been removed from service due to a technical issue. 2-hour fares have been adjusted to provide 3 hours per ride as a convenience. So what does that mean? If you got a 2-hour fare, an extra hour is thrown on because that's how long it would take to get to your next thing. So you're an hour late on that? Oh, man. I feel for these guys, and I feel for everyone that wants this trolley up and running. I feel bad for them. But, man, they have way too many problems. I just can't do it. And then last week we talked about the people living near Forest Park on Lindell that have to hear at 11 o'clock at night the thing running late, running the horn all night, enough for it to go through the entire house. They got kids trying to fall asleep, and they got this horn going off near Forest Park, even after hours. Ugh. Oh, man. The trolley looks cool, though. I'm looking inside. It's a cool-looking deal. I mean, the Post-Dispatch did this write-up for it. People say they're happy. They're like, yeah, I'm happy. Things are going good. But Joe Edwards, he's the one that was the real big push for it and financer and got people on board of this thing. I know he's saying he's very happy, but he can't be very happy. This is running out. If this was his own business and he was running his business and there was this many problems with it and other vendors having problems, employees having problems, equipment having problems, location having problems, government having problems, you would not be saying, oh, this is all just hunky-dory. You'd be like, this is ridiculous. I've done everything and I'm still getting sandbagged, still spending more money. I feel like you would have cut your losses at this point, but since it's the trolley thing, they decided to see this thing through. Man, I really hope this will bring more people, but you got to be realistic. There's some issues, lots of them still, Lots of bugs. Here's a story from KMOX. And this is really the AP. And I got to mention that in the next hour, we're going to do some space talk. But can we just be mature for a moment? When I was in school, seventh grade, the teacher, when going through space and those type of topics, and you talked about all of the planets, and you had the, what we learned the planets for was this line, because normally there's a sentence you would learn, and it would help you, the first letter of each word in that sentence would lay out the planets in order. So ours was, my very energetic mother just sold Uncle Ned's pants. Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, and then the U, she made us pronounce it Uranus, not Uranus, Uranus, and then Neptune and Pluto because, yeah, I'm old school and I still look at Pluto as a planet, which, by the way, they brought it back as a planet because so many people complained about it. But still, Uranus slash Uranus, and of course, you're near that age. That's funny. Uranus. As I found out, both are acceptable because there was a lot of other teachers that did the same thing. It's one of those deals where you can say, and you're correct both ways. You can just get away with it. But really, most scientists call it Uranus. So let's go to Uranus, Missouri. The Uranus Examiner, a small Missouri newspaper that gained national attention because of its name, is closing. It'll end the publication on Friday after publishing five editions since it began in September. Five editions. Now, they're trying to blame it on people aren't mature enough. People were too judgmental on our name, and that's what caused our newspaper to close down. Are you saying that you're a terrible business operator, that you put all of these people's jobs at risk, and you made a terrible decision? And now you're blaming everyone else because they didn't want to buy into your mistake? Come on now. In statements on Facebook, managing editor Natalie Sanders and Louis Ken, owners and publishers of the paper, blamed a judgmental fuddy-duddy squad, they said. So many people supported the paper, but banks declined to provide loans and many businesses would not advertise with the paper, in part because Ken once owned a strip club. So they didn't want to be part of the controversy. It's everyone else's fault. Uranus is an unincorporated tourist spot along Route 66. Quirky attractions, including a fudge shop and the world's largest belt buckle. I'd go see the belt buckle. And now that means there's no newspaper there in Pulaski County. I just think it's silly that these owners are saying that, oh, it's in September, they only put out five editions, and it's everyone else's fault, we couldn't stay above water. What kind of business model did you have where you would be able to go under that quickly, where you can only put out five editions? What do you think was going to happen? You think you're going to take the world by storm in the growing medium of newspapers? You're going to be able to hop in there and say, oh, yeah, everyone's making tons of money off newspapers right now. We're going to get in that business, and we're going to be able to show it right. No. This is what you should have done if you were smart about it. You just put a website together and you could do the same journalistic type of articles on the web and you'd probably get a lot more traffic knowing you're going to cover a bunch of local stories no one else is covering. You could have done all these things. You didn't actually have to put all of this money and investment into printing. You didn't have to put everything into all the brick and mortar stuff. You could have done all of this probably from your own homes. But instead what? Oh, I got to do this. No, you're not wise when it comes to investments, and you probably blew through your money, and who knows what other missteps you made based on the name alone. I'm sure you made other ones. So don't blame this on everyone else. This is your fault. This is your shortcomings. Forget it. That was on KMOX.com. A couple of other stories I want to get to. I'm not sure which of these stories are funnier. I got one about Bill and Hillary Clinton. I also have one about the NFL. Both are kind of crazy if you think about it in its own little way. I wanted to get to that, and I'm going to play a report from The Onion. If you don't know what The Onion is, it's a satirical website. I think they do physical copies of paper in certain locations where you can actually get this satirical newspaper. You know, they know what they're doing, by the way. And they are hilarious, some of these articles that they put together. They did one about the NFL, and man, was it funny. So I want to play that for you coming up, too. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. Got about 10 minutes or so until we take a break till the CBS News break at the top of the hour. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Wow, so nightmare in Southwest Virginia is CBS still tracking the complete standstill, across a large section of Interstate 81. Snow coming down too fast for crews to clear it. Man, that's tough. This late at night, I wonder how many people are actually traveling down I-81 in Virginia. But if you're stuck in that and just happen to be passing through on the radio dial on 1120 AM, hey, it's good to have you on here. We're live in St. Louis, Missouri. And yes, we do pay attention to things that happen outside of our metropolitan area. So we are here live with you. Phone number is 800-925-1120 or 314-436-7900. So how's this? I don't know what's funnier. There's a bit that The Onion did on sports that I thought was hilarious, man. But there's also a deal that I was reading online. Bill and Hillary Clinton have been forced to resort to selling half-price tickets on Groupon as part of their 13-city tour. I knew this was a problem to begin with. How in the world did they think they were going to sell out arenas? Even when Hillary Clinton was running for president, she couldn't barely fill up high school gyms. I mean, she was going to these small venues. And even then, she wasn't showing up to some areas. She would send Bill Clinton in her place. And because Bill Clinton would show up, you have the president of the United States, and he would demand a crowd of, you know, what I saw was a crowd of 300, 400 at most, not even that. That's from my own experience. When I was in Indiana going through the primary, you had Donald Trump come out and fill out an arena, even in Northeast Indiana. We're talking about probably upwards of 10,000 people. You had Ted Cruz show up, and this is right before he dropped out of the race. He might have had 250 people show up. Bill Clinton was even less than that. He probably had about 100 to 150 show up. Bernie Sanders, I don't remember what the crowd was for him, but he also came through the area. So when they were talking about filling up these giant arenas, what were they thinking? And they were putting these giant price tags on these things too. So ticket prices have plummeted. The cheapest seat selling on StubHub for $6.55 in Canada, translated to about $5 American dollars. Now the couple is taking drastic measures to avoid embarrassment where no one shows up. Like they showed what they thought was a 3,300. Sources said about 3,300 bought tickets to last week's kickoff event, but there was plenty of room in the hockey arena just minutes before the lights dimmed. They're showing a picture of the hockey arena. Oh, man, this is like, I would be pretty embarrassed for that. So tickets have been slashed up to 60%. Groupon is still selling them on the discount sites. 450 tickets already sold. They're just trying to get people there so it's not embarrassing. New York Times columnist wrote a co-op that it was curtains for the Clintons. Says, I'm still looking at large swaths of empty seats and I cringe at the thought that the Clintons will look out and see that too. It was only 4 years ago, after all, that Canadians were clamoring to buy tickets to see the woman who seemed headed to history. Nope. Sorry. People are also wondering why they're even doing this. So they're going out there to glorify themselves, the Clintons are. So why bother? Like, when you go out and you do a speech, this is what normally happens. If the crowd is light, they adjust the room to make it look like it's a full room. So if you're in an area where they could close off certain areas or push people to a certain all up front, they'll do that because it is embarrassing to have a bunch of empty seats. Now, if you're an arena, it's not easy to do that, if at all. Because if you're trying to sell the entire arena, you can't just move the bowls around. I mean, you can try to force people up or whatever. But when you got assigned seating like that, that's probably not that easy. And when there's different ticket values, so if someone paid a lot of money to be up there and then paid a lot of money to be close, and then there's no one there, and they say, okay, everyone can just move forward, then you make everyone angry. You know, why did I pay $100 for this ticket when the dude that paid $5 on StubHub is going to be able to sit next to me? So there's those stumbling blocks, too. It's sad, actually. The Clintons got to stop, you know? This fantasy of them, they just got to stop. I know people want to hear what they have to say, but don't think they're going to fill out an arena. You're not Donald Trump, all right? Don't even pretend to be. That's kind of funny, but this is even funnier, really. The Onion did something and was talking about running back from Kansas City, the one that got caught in that camera situation at the hotel. TMZ released the video. He immediately got cut from Kansas City's roster. And The Onion had a real funny take on that. So they're doing this like it's a live radio show, and the guy's sitting behind a microphone. He's doing his sports show, and he's getting all ready for it. And he's got this hot take on what the NFL should do for players like the running back Hunt that was over in Kansas City.
Time to lace up your thickest boots and step into the deep sweat. It's been nearly a week since the terrible news broke about Kareem Hunt, and by now I'm sure a lot of you have seen the disturbing video. To me, this whole scandal raises an important question. Should the NFL prohibit players from appearing in hotel security footage? Look, the league obviously needs to do something here, and that something, I think, might be a total and complete ban on hotel security cameras in the NFL. Let's face it, the league has a major security camera problem, and they've been way too lax about it. If NFL players are within 100 yards of a security camera, especially one that's in a hotel, you know it's going to be trouble. We've seen two different players get into situations with these things, and it's always bad news. Disasters for the league.
Oh, that's just hilarious. And he goes on this rant even longer. Oh, that is funny. That's how you fix the problem. Just make sure no players get by any hotel security cameras. Oh, that is funny. But is it really that funny? Because this comes out on Pro Football Talk, which is from NBC Sports. They say, some owners wonder whether NFL should get out of investigating at all, get out of the investigation business. Is it really that funny all of a sudden? Is it really that funny to think, stay away from the cameras? Well, now the owners are saying, it's not really actually, maybe that's a good idea. as long as it's, if people can't see it, who cares? The Cowboys owner, Jerry Jones, argued, back in March of 2017, the league should get out of the business of investigating player misconduct. He said, it's certainly an issue that needs discussion. Knowledge of these owners' views, is there a way to do this better? If not, should the NFL even be in the investigation business because they do such a poor job of it? I think the NFL tries to hide a lot of this stuff until there's actual evidence anyway. Back, what did we find out, actually? We found out when it came to access to that camera footage in the hotel with that running back Hunt from Kansas City, that someone requested to see the video and then they didn't do anything with it. What if it was the NFL that had this video and decided not to discipline this player, or the owners in Kansas City decided not to discipline this player until this information was made public? It was only a matter of time. So they keep riding their star player. It's good for the league. It's good for Kansas City. They get the wins. They do this. They do that. But they had all this information to begin with. What if that was the case? How disappointed would you be? Well, what if the owner's approach is that we got these star players. We have millions of dollars wrapped up in the development of players. We have the scouting. We have the team to think about. We have the role that they're playing. We have the fans. We have ticket prices. We have jerseys. We got so much wrapped up in all of this that maybe it's best we just don't do anything. If a player is shown beating up a girl on a camera or grabbing her and throwing her down or any of those things, maybe we should wait before we do anything. Maybe the video evidence of it is not enough for us to discipline a player. That's what the owners want. Wow. Really? Maybe it's not all the owners, but this is something that's being argued right now. Some owners wonder if this is the right way to go. That it also could be argued that the NFL decided to simply check boxes, a.k.a. we asked the hotel and we asked the Cleveland Police Department for the video and then accepted the risk that TMZ eventually would get to the video. Oh, check all the boxes, the investigators? It's in your best interest to let the stars be stars until there's going to be some public outrage and then you cut the cord. If so, the league struggles to find a middle ground between a Ray Rice or Ezekiel Elliott cases. The league could retreat, they say, to the days before Rice, opting only to act when forced to do so by the fact that a player was found to be responsible for criminal misconduct by the criminal justice system, recognizing that the justice system has plenty of imperfections. But, hey, at least you can wait until they get a charge against them. What do you think? To me, this is why things like the XFL is going to be popular. Skip all this to begin with. Skip it all. Just get put a league together where you know the expectation is if you're someone that does things like this, you're done with. The league's not going to hide it. The league's not going to stand behind you. In the gravy train of that paycheck you were getting, gone, done. You're done. You know, why not? Why not say to the players, if you're out there beating up women, it's over. Why would you be the NFL and say, well, maybe the owners think it's better for profits that we stick you and keep you around as long as possible? No, I don't know. I don't think so. This is just one of the reasons why there's going to be competition to the NFL, why there's multiple competitions to the NFL when it comes to pro football, and why they're going to these other leagues are going to be able to come in and steal the viewers away. Because people get tired of this stuff. We've got another hour of Overnight America coming up. I got some good space talk for you, too. Oh, I love space talk. You want to know what it sounds like on Mars? I have audio. This is really cool. That's coming up, too.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.